I want to say something, and that is right now, I want everybody to be still, quiet your spirit. No moving, no talking, no praising, no words. Let's be still in the Lord. Rest in Him. And wait patiently for Him. I can't minister right now. I can't bring the word at this moment. Okay? We've got to learn to hear from God. We've got to learn to be obedient. When God says, move, when God says, Michael, get out of the way, when God says, Michael, be quiet. I can quench God's spirit, regardless how anointing I might think I am. I'm not here to play church. I'm not here to be seen. I'm not here to be heard. For I am nothing but a filthy rag. There is nothing in me that earns worship. There is nothing in me that deems glorification. Hear what I am saying. We want God to move. Or do we? Or do we want to move? This week, I picked up a husband and wife who were pastors. They didn't realize it, but they were ministering to me also as I ministered to them. And they said, Pastor Mike, sometimes, majority of the time, they said, God has to move me out of the way in order for Him to do what He needs to do. Hearken, listen. Do we want God? Because when God moves, He may not use you. Think about that. He may not use you. He's the potter, He's the clay. We're the vessels. He may choose to use another plate or another cup. But are you ready for that? Are you ready for that? Are you ready for the glory of God to fall? And He may say, it's you I'm going to use. It's you. Remember what the scripture said. It is the least of these. Woe, hearken unto the word of the Lord, we fall away. It is the least of these, not we who think we are there. For what I think I'm there, I'm prideful, I'm hearty, I'm boastful. can't preach right now. Ladies, I want you to come back. I want you to re-sing, "He Knows My Name." There's a reason why it's only three of you. A threefold cord is not easily broken. There's a reason why God has you three today. Come on, sing. It's not about me. Let the glory of God, I pray the glory of God fall upon you, ladies, that when you sing, that the fire of God will move forth and touch the souls.
You
God's an awesome God. God is an awesome God. We've had prayer to go forth. I feel the power of God now. We must remember God comes on the scene as a consuming fire. Second Chronicles 7:14. This isn't even the message. If my people, which are called by my name, the first thing is what? There's a reason, there's an order with God. Called by my name shall humble There is something about humility. Humility means I'm not going to exalt myself. I'm not going to lift up Michael. I'm not going to draw attention to me. As Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. As I point you to Jesus, not to me. Let me pray. Lord God, I am unworthy. I am unworthy to stand behind the pulpit. I am unworthy to feed your sheep. But nevertheless, Father, I pray that you would be seen and not me. That the message in which I have prepared, that you would be heard and not me. I say, Father, have your way. Let your glory continue to fall. Continue to consume us with your Holy Ghost fire. We submit, we surrender, we give ourselves to you as a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service. We say, have your way. Touch our hearts today. Move us out of the way. Get me out of the way. So that you can be heard and not me. So that you can be seen and not me, Lord. For I'm nothing but a mere person, a mere mortal. We humble ourselves right now. We say, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. God is Pastor Tony shared something about a couple of weeks ago that had been on my heart. And he spoke briefly, I believe in prayer, about the men, the male seed. As you see, this message is for the most part geared towards the men. The male seed. Where are the God-fearing men? Are they extinct? You may think you're a God-fearing man, but are you? Now keep in mind that this message is tailored for the male, for the men, for even the babies, the males that are babies. But it can also be applied to the female. Where are the godly men? And I'm going to take you somewhere with this. I don't know how long I'm going to be. But we always say, God, have your way. I'm not up here to hoop and holler at you. I'm not even here to make you feel good. Okay? I pray that the Holy Spirit would come upon each and every one of us men. That we would begin to have the mind of Christ, the hope of glory. That we would begin to have the heart of God. That we would begin to walk as the men of God that he has called each of us to walk. Where are the godly men? 1 Corinthians 6:13-14. Watch ye Stand fast in the faith. Quit like men. Be strong. Let all your things be done with charity or love. Stand up and be a man of God. Amen. Amen. I want every male to stand up right now. Every male. Every male. Mm-hmm. It's okay, Sheila. It's all right. It's okay. You may be seated. Reason why I wanted you to do that. Because when we stand up, we give honor and glory to God. And we stand as men with our back straight as the warriors that God has mandated for the man, not the woman. Don't get me wrong. Not the woman, but the man. To stand up and be the warrior that he has called us to be. Men, take back. Take it back. Take back that which God has given you. Take it back. Forget about your flaws and your inconsistencies. God has mandated and called and anointed you to stand as that mighty warrior. Gird up yourself with the armor of the Lord, my men. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. Gird up your loins with truth. Shod up your feet with the preparation of the God. Keep in your left hand the shield of faith to defend every fiery dart of the adversary against your family, against your loved ones. Keep in your right hand the sword of the Spirit, which is the mighty word of God. That's the weapon we use to defeat the enemy. I'm mad at the devil. I'm tired of it. Ain't no more here. Well, I'm a man. I ain't no wimp. I'm a tatter like it is. I ain't no man. I mean, I ain't no woman. I'm a man. Heterosexual. 100%. Mess with me and you gonna find out. I ain't no woman. I ain't no boy. It's time we stood up as men. I don't mean normal men. Men of prayer. Men of virtue. Men of holiness. Men of righteousness. True leaders. Men who are willing to fall on their faces and weep. Men who are willing to stand in the gap. Men who are willing to go to war in the spirit. Men who are willing to fast for their loved ones. Men who are willing to give their lives so that you may live. And I don't mean just in the spirit. I mean in the natural also. Who are you? Are you a man of God? I ain't even got to the message. But I got to flow and give you what God has given me at this moment. There are many men today that are living godless lives and not even thinking about it. And I'm speaking Christians. Christian men. We get confused. It's good you're in church, but that doesn't mean you're godly. It's good you're in church, but it doesn't mean you're a God-fearing man. It's good you are saved, but that doesn't mean that you're God's kind of man. We have to understand what it means to be God's kind of man as opposed to the world kind of man. The reality is that for many men, although they will not say this, that godliness is unnecessary. It's useless. How many of you men pray every day? How many of you pick up your word every day? This is for you who are listening at the sound of my voice and seeing me on YouTube and wherever tube. This isn't funny for me. This isn't funny. Ask yourself, men of God, are you after God? When do you pick up your word to read? When do you spend time just with God? Do you need a woman to start you up in prayer? What's up with that? I'm tired of it. Many of the churches, I meet a lot of preachers, but I meet very few pastors. It's a difference. A lot of preachers out there. I don't meet a lot of pastors. Why do you need a woman to start you up to pray? What's up with that? Obviously, you don't spend time talking to our Father. He's my heavenly Father. I don't want to disrespect him. He said, call nobody else Father. I have a daddy. I had a daddy. He's passed. But I only have one Father. Stay with the Word of God, people. Don't deviate. It may sound good to you, but if it's not Scripture, let it alone. I'm tired of it. And we're wondering why the anointing of God isn't flowing. I want God's glory. Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to play church. I can play church anywhere. Amen. People playing church all day long. Men shrug off godliness as important, not important. As proof of this, I offer the churches across America. There is a lack of men in our churches today, except for the pastors, elders, deacons, whoever else. The audience or the congregation lacks true godly men. Many of the women are either coming to church alone or dragging that rascal with him. Dragging him. Rascal. You ain't heard that one in a long time. Where are the godly men? Where are the men who are going to lead their families and have family devotions? I'm talking to you men. Stop riding on the coattail or the dress tail or whatever it is of the woman. Stand up and be the men of God that he has called us to be. Don't demand respect, you earn it, brethren. You earn it. You earn it. When your wife come in wondering where you are, she come in and you are on your knees. Hallelujah. Crying out, Abba, Father. Wondering where you are. And calling for you. And you have to say, honey, stop. I'm in the presence of God right now. How else are you going to be a man of God unless you spend time with God? Yes, was it yesterday? I don't know. Yesterday, Sunday. Might have been really Friday. I'm downstairs. And I'm just spending time in the word, in the message. I ran in the house. I said, honey, I got to go downstairs. I got to go downstairs. And I forgot how I said it. But basically wanted to spend time with God. So I was down there. All two ladies, she said, honey, you okay? You remember? Mm-hmm. If I ain't okay with God, I ain't gonna ever be okay. You all right? What you think? Even if I saw God in the natural, I would no longer cease to exist. But I'm still all right. No man can see me in the natural and live. Even God said, I can't save you now. Think about it. Where are the godly men? Where are the men who are going to lead their families and have the family devotions? Can you tell me where the men are that will live for God in the workplace and read their Bibles? Where are the men who pray? Many of us think that we are men when you're nothing but a weasel. I'm going to tell it like it is. You ain't no man. If you want to see what a man of God, look at Jesus. Don't look at me. Don't mimic me. You look at Jesus. Sweat and blood. Don't want to do it. Many times, if we don't want to do something, we ain't doing it. Nevertheless, not my will be done. Oh, do you say that, though? Or you're rebuking something that God has allowed to happen in your life. You're rebuking stuff, and God is trying to fine-tune you and straighten you up. And you're fighting against God because you don't know God. Because you ain't spending time in prayer and you're not even recognizing it's his voice. When God is trying to fine-tune us men, It is not fun. It is uncomfortable. Do you want to be holy? God needs godly men. 1 Timothy 6:11 says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, goodness, faith, love, patience, and meekness." Many guys will not associate godliness with manliness. In our society, these two words, godliness and manliness, may even appear to contradict. Now I'm going to say something. I can think of many so-called Christian men who brag of how many women are interested in them. Or they're hooked on pornography. Man of God. Or lusting after another man's wife. Man of God, though. No, the woman is married. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you like it is. If you got a wife and you can't say sweetheart to your wife, don't say sweetheart to my wife. I'm going to keep it straight. If you can't hug your wife, don't you dare put your hands on my wife. That's my baby. Huh? I do a Peter on you quick. I ain't always been saved. Well, I might. But men of God, learn how to hug women. I'm tired. You want the glory of God and flesh everywhere. Come here, baby. Come here. I'm going to show you something. I'm going to tell you like it is, because it's time we get right. We want the glory of God. It ain't about church. Turn us our way. You ain't my wife. Right now, you ain't my wife. She ain't yours either. You got to learn, men of God and women of God. Women, be careful how you hug a man. You don't know what that man may be dealing with. Stop putting your breasts all on him. Oh yeah. I'm gonna tell it like it is. Stop putting your breasts all on that. You don't know what that man been struggling with.
Tell it true. That's the truth.
We are flesh. Men are sight oriented. Learn how to hug that rascal. And don't allow the adversary to open up a door that he has been trying to break that stronghold. No more of this. Bless you, my sister. Come on. That's the world. Don't hug me like that. And don't hug her like that. Let me show you how you hug. As a godly woman and man of God. Always remember, keep the Spirit of God in you. It's called the butt out. Good morning. Don't be grabbing me. Put me in a hole like this. But we want the Spirit of God to manifest. And we just energize the flesh. The Spirit is willing. Let me tell you, we want the move of God, we got to change, including me. Do you want flesh or do you want spirit? Okay. I will tell you this. Living a godly life is one of the hardest things in the world to do. I won't shuck and jive with you on that. But guess what? It is necessary and it is worth it if you want to be used by God. Not just in here, but every day outside. Do you think I'm wrong? Well, if you do, just try doing this. Try reading the Word of God and then following it. Strive to love people you don't like. Strive to love people who don't like you. Attempt to live a pure life daily. Make an effort to give your life to God every day and learning to hate sin and not just sin's consequences. If you do these things, you will discover how difficult it is to live a righteous and holy life every day. The only way that we can do that, and I'm speaking to the men, is we must spend time with God on an ongoing basis. Who was the apostle who had the thorn in the flesh? Huh? Yeah. And it's throughout Christianity, the theologians have debated what it was. It doesn't matter. Because if it mattered, God would have told us. We're trying to figure out stuff that really doesn't matter. But Paul came to the place, he said, well, I realized, God, well, I just come to the place where I prayed three times, but I guess you wanted to be there as a buffet to cause me to press into your face. Men have many struggles. One of the biggest struggles that men have, and I've come to see it as a thorn in the flesh, is the lust for women. I don't care who you are. If you're 100% heterosexual male, you will struggle for it. I see it. You don't think I see when brethren got eyes looking at a woman? I see it in here. Oh, please. I ain't no fool. No, I ain't stupid. I can tell when a brethren has eyes for another woman. I ain't been that saved that long. You might be fooling yourself, but you ain't fooling me. Well, I see it. Tell how friendly they may be, a joke, whatever they may do. Let me tell you something that would got David in trouble. Every man has to deal with that thing. That's why men get addicted to pornography. Sight-oriented beings. I have come to the conclusion, as Paul said. See, keep in mind when God destroyed the earth, he put us back and he said, be fruitful and multiply. He put that desire in the man to pursue that female to refill the planet, the earth. But guess what? In the new covenant, In the old covenant, we could have multiple wives. In the new covenant, one wife. But that desire to pursue the female is still there. Think about it. That's why they get in trouble. I've come to the conclusion that I've always said that I want, when I get to heaven, I want to have a little talk with God. Okay, God, why didn't you take that burning desire out of that male, of the male seed? I was spending time in prayer, and I'm very careful about saying God told me. Be careful what you say, because sometimes you're lying on God. Like God told me, God spoke to me, and people thinking, well, how come God don't talk to me like that? I always say what I believe God shared with me, because I can be in error. And I was on my knees and I was praying, and I really believe God spoke to my spirit and said, it is there in the male seed to cause you to seek me and to give you me to give you the strength to walk as that man of God that I've called you to walk as. If every man is honest, if he is not dealing with it, he has dealt with it before. Men of God, do you want God? Do you really want God? Many of us want the flesh. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Living a godly life is not hard, but it is necessary. Why godly men, you may ask? Micah 6:8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. When we humble ourselves before God, and when we open ourselves before God, get ready for a mighty outpouring of God in the men, in the male seed. I'm not satisfied with what I have in God right now. Don't ever be satisfied in where you are. Be greedy for God. If you're going to be greedy for something, get greedy for God. If you see the anointing on somebody else, say, I want that too. Or do you want it? Oh, I want God to speak to me like that. Are you willing to put in the time with God? I want God to use me like that. But are you willing to hear what God has to say? Jesus. Are you willing to sacrifice all so that God can use you? Are you willing to sacrifice everything so that God can use you, people? Men of God? It's obvious in this society why it is important to live a godly life. If men deem it to be important, pornography wouldn't be rampant today. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. How many pastors on there? and addicted. Now, don't get me wrong. It's extremely easy for a man to get addicted. It's not for you females to understand that. Don't try to understand it, because you won't. But a man's mind is completely different from a female's. What did they say? Men are from Venus and women from Pluto? Mars. You show Mars? Oh, I think Saturn. But yeah, Pluto, yeah. Okay. But I remember my son. Paul is now 35. And so his mother, she always, when she's upset with the children, she will come and talk to me. Then I have to go talk to the children. So she was upset with Paul because he did not send a Mother's Day card or something. But of course, you know, he still loves her. So I was talking to Paul, and so he said, I just don't understand it. What's the big deal about the Mother's Day card? I said, and we were talking, I said, hold it, son. I said, let's stop it. I said, the problem is you're trying to understand a woman's mind. Pooh. And he said, but I don't care if I don't get a card. I said, son, look at me. Literally, I said, look, he looked at me. I said, Paul, stop trying to analyze and figure it out. Doesn't matter whether you realize. I said, if that's what she needs, do it. Just do it. I said, stop trying to figure it out, because you won't. I don't care if I don't get no flowers. I don't need a dozen of red roses on Valentine. It's the difference. No, that's what she needs. And fulfill that need. I'm saying that as men of God, those you who are married, if you know your wife has a certain need, stop trying to figure it out. Just do it. Just do it. Let me tell you something. If she's unfulfilled, the adversary will make sure that the right rascal is going to come down there. Come down the road, and at some point in time, and fulfill that particular need that you are unwilling, because you're stiff-necked, you're stubborn. Give her what she needs. I'm not talking sex, folk. Give her what she needs, men of God. God needs men who will decide to read the truth of his word. God needs men who believe the truth of his word. God needs men who will obey the truth of his word. Keep in mind, it doesn't matter. See, we say a lot of stuff, but God said, if you love me, you're going to obey. Huh? When I have conversations with men outside of the church, as God gives me the opportunity, I always hear the same excuses. In my line of work, it's virtually impossible to live a godly life. Sin is all around me. I would be very unsuccessful if I tried to live a godly life. Any walk of life, though. Joshua 1:9. Have not I commanded thee, men, be strong of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thy goeth. I don't care if you're a police officer, a nurse, janitor, ditch digger, a banker, bank teller, teacher, lawyer, engineer, whatever. As men of God, we should all live godly lives. Are you satisfied with just being barely saved? Men become satisfied. Are you satisfied with where you are in God? The scripture says even the righteous are going to barely make it in. Are you satisfied with your spiritual walk, your relationship with God? Are you satisfied? I know I'm not. I desire more of God. It's not about in here. It's about outside the church, the four walls. Remember, I'm speaking primarily to men, but this does apply to the women also. But I am going to stick with this message for the male seed. Once more, living a godly life is very difficult, but it is necessary. It will require self-control. It will require discipline. You may be persecuted. You may be hated. You may be treated differently. But at the end, God will be exalted. We as men are to live godly lives not because we will be successful in our line of work. Living a godly life actually will not guarantee success according to the word. But we need to be godly men regardless. First and foremost, why? To honor God with our lives. Understand that life as we have is a gift from God. Is a gift. Not even the angels have the freedom that we have. We're not. God gives us the choice to praise Him or not to praise Him. To worship Him or to not worship Him. Life in this physical body is a gift every day. You must see it as a gift that God has given you. So we live godly, first to honor God, secondly to bring honor to our families, thirdly to role model before our children, fourthly to role model before our co-workers and our associates. Do we have a revelation of heaven, and do we have a revelation of really what hell is? I'm speaking to the men, you who are listening. Have you may know what hell is, but have you received the revelation of the tragedy of when a soul dies and perishes in hell? The torment, the sorrow, the pain. So if we have that revelation, why aren't we modeling righteousness before our family so that they can get saved? Or do you not care? Do you not care that your son or your nephew may not make it into heaven? men of God. So how do you start? How do we start? Glad you asked me. In your spare time, I want you to read Psalms 119, 119, 9 through 16. Start by being real with God. Start by praying earnestly. Start by praying without someone else. Pray by yourself. I'm telling you, I don't need my wife to pray. Matter of fact, a lot of times she'll say, honey, we need to pray. I'm like, no, I don't. I just pray. She said, well, we didn't pray together. By this time, I'm tired. Let me tell you, one of our biggest contentions, well, mine, is not hers. One of my biggest contentions is, all right, let me ask y'all, when y'all want to go to bed, when you're ready to go to bed, are you sleepy? Well, maybe you're not. All right, at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, when I go to bed, I'm sleepy. Like, Pastor Tony, what you say? No. No. That's what my wife will say. Honey, let's pray. I'm like, girl, you crazy? I'm like, I done prayed. I'm trying to sleep now. I'm like, I done prayed. I done interceded. I'm like, I won't go to sleep. Hey, we need to pray. I'm like, no, you need to pray. Marriage is funny. Not really. Sound funny now, but 12 o'clock, it ain't funny. Because I might be in the flesh. My wife told me one day, I'm going to call Pastor Ed. I ain't call him. Did you not? I'm calling Pastor Ann. I'm like, good. Call her. Because it's 12 o'clock. And she going to have something to say for you because she sleep too. She's going to say, baby, it ain't time for all this. Baby, it's time to sleep. He's going to be quoting scriptures. He's going to be quoting scriptures to you too. All right. Start by praying earnestly. Prayer is not a series of words to memorize that will please God. And prayer is not asking God to grant you every wish. I'm about tired of this. After all, God is not a genie, and he is not a Santa Claus. Prayer is a way to talk to God and getting to know him. Furthermore, prayer is pouring out your life before God and seeking God's will for your life. Men of God, no matter how difficult. Aren't you tired of the women standing in the gap? I know I am. It's time you stand in the gap. The next thing you need to do, should be doing it. Read the Word of God. It's sad that I have to say that. But how many of the brethren are saved, so they say, and never pick up the the Word of God. It's mind-boggling to me that you say you saved, but you don't want to hear what God has to say through His Word to you. If you don't have a desire to want to read God's Word, pray and ask Him to give you the desire. Oh God, I'm struggling, I don't want to read it. God, give me the desire, the love for Your Word. And pray for interpretation and understanding and revelation as you read. I'm going to ask you a question. If your father passed away and left you a significant inheritance, wouldn't you want to know? Wouldn't you want to know what it is? What would you do if after his passing, the attorney came to you and said, your father left you this car, and that's it? I have read your father's last will and testament, and I'm interpreting it for you. This is what your father wanted. Would you listen to the attorney and say, okay? Thank you for interpreting my father's will for me. I will have the keys now, and I will be on my way. Would you do that? I don't think I would. I would want to read my father's last will and testament for myself. I would seek to understand every word and demand every last thing inherited to me. If you don't read God's word, you don't know. If you don't read God's word, He says that He's no longer writing His word upon the tablets of stone. He's now writing it upon the hearts of man. But how? The only way that He can chisel His word upon your heart, pick it up and read it so He can chisel. Chisel. It's not just a one thing, it's a daily thing. What now? 1 Corinthians 6:13, be watchful, stand firm in your faith, act like men, and be strong. These two things, praying to God and reading God's word, will help us to live godly lives as men. These two things will enable us to stand tall during times of adversity, trials, and tribulations. The combination of these two things will fill each man with God's power, enabling us to become quick to forgive when others offend us. Always remember, men, the greatest gift that we can have is love. And that applies to women. But I'm speaking to us men. Many of us don't know how to love. I didn't when I first got married. I didn't know what love was. I knew what lust was. Love is the greatest gift. How many of you in here are married? Raise your hand. Men. Raise your hand. One, two. Okay. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wife the way Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Read it, meditate upon it, let it become part of you. Ask God to give you the understanding and the interpretation for it, because I'm not going to do it right now. But to make a long story short, the more you fall in love with God, let me tell you something. When a man falls in love with God, his wife will receive some good loving. I ain't talking like what y'all think. The more I love God, the greater my love for my wife becomes. Understand that, men. If you're having problems with your wife, now we're going to have issues from time to time. But if you're having an ongoing issue in your household, take a step back and look at yourself.
Amen.
Are you really in love with God? Are you really doing the things that God has mandated for me to do as a man? Sometimes I don't want to pray over her. There have been times where I just ain't won't touch her. All of us are going down this road. And vice versa. But God says, husbands, love your wife the way Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I remember one day I told God, I said, she's just getting on my nerves. Complaining about everything. I don't feel like it. And he said, I didn't... You don't see any prerequisites in there.
Go ahead.
I didn't say if she loved you. There are commandments, more commandments for the men because of our stiff-neckedness. See, when we begin to walk as men of God, men of prayer, men of virtue, men of substance, it is real easy for that woman to follow. But when she don't see you praying, you don't want to read the word. You in the flesh. You mean to her. Then you're wondering why she rising up against you. Don't happen to me. We want to force respect. You got to earn it. In closing, this is not just for a week. In your spare time, read 1 Kings 2, 1 through 3. Okay? Being godly is not just for a week, for a day, just to try it. Being godly is a lifestyle for every manly man. Understand, for it is easy to hate but hard to love. That's a man. That is a man that loves when he is hated, that forgives when he has been wrong. That's truly what a God man is. That even when things are not going your way, you're still godly.
Amen.
Amen. Being godly is a lifestyle for every manly man in Christ Jesus. We can show the world that we are sold out to God. But are we sold out to God? That we are men who love God with our whole heart. And in doing so, we will show the world that real men can live a pure and holy life and stay godly in this present darkness of a world. God needs men who are bold and unashamed of Christ and to walk a godly walk in this world. We need to let our light shine in this present darkness of a world. But is your light shining? Do you have any light? As we were traveling to church just this morning, we were at the stoplight, and there was this Mercedes-Benz that was riding down the street. And the front lights looked like white paper. You're probably like, what do I mean? There was so much oxidation on the lenses, it's no way the light could shine. Like cataracts. You may be a Christian, but do you have spiritual cataracts? Well, when people look in your eyes, nothing is shining through. It's like a shield that is in front of you. It might be a little glimmer of just a little bit that may come through. Being godly is not for the weak. Being godly is a lifestyle for every manly man in Christ. My question is, are you up to it? Are you up to it? Are you called to be a man that lives his life for Christ? Or are you living your life for yourself? Are you a man that will put God first, his family second, and everything else after that? Always remember, men of God, he comes first. You don't put your family first. You don't put the church first. You don't put your children first. You don't put your wife first. Get your love straight. You got it twisted. You put God first. This is not a beatdown session, although it might be. If the Holy Spirit convicted you, good. It's a good thing. That means he ain't giving up on you. Forgive my French. He has not given up on you. Conviction is a good thing. It's good for me. It don't feel good. Conviction and condemnation feel the same, actually. The difference is, you're both guilty. You're guilty anyhow. Condemnation means you're guilty without hope. Conviction means you're guilty with hope. They feel the same. Are you a man that will put God first, his family second, and everything else after that? Will you live a godly life? Will you answer the call of God to be a God-fearing man? Or will we continue to live a selfish lifestyle? I pray that every man that is listening to the sound of my voice will answer the call to become a godly, God-fearing man. It's never too late. Don't hold your heads down, you who are listening. Don't beat yourself up. But say, praise the Lord. Because God sees something in you. God sees something in you. see it as a blessing that you are the male seed. He sees the power that is in you. He sees the ability. He sees the strength. As you draw close to Him, the power is released even in a greater way. In a holy way. In a righteous way. Where you come on the scene because of the glory of God is upon you. The devils have to flee. You won't have to worry about spitting and everything else. You remember when Jesus was trying to cast out the demonic spirits? Not Jesus, but the disciples. And Jesus said that this kind cometh forth by nothing but by prayer. That's a man saying that. Don't forget that. Jesus was not a female. He's a man. Live a fasted life. What is he saying? You live a life of fasting. When things happen, you're instant in season and out of season. I believe that's out of Mark 9:29. Can someone check? I believe it's Mark 9:29. I think it's Mark 9:29. Okay. All heads bowed. All eyes closed.